I hate to interrupt this wonderful fellowship, but would you please regain your seats in the pews? Now that you've had an opportunity to greet people from one side of the aisle and the other, would you please pass the register so that you will register your attendance? It's wonderful to greet each other individually, but we would like to have a record of your attendance. So if you would please sign your name and pass it on down, we would appreciate that. There are lots of announcements to make, and I just got one that I better give now before I forget it. Yesterday, the pancake breakfast for missions was wonderful, excellent fellowship and wonderful food. There are some bake sale items that are still left from that event yesterday. You will find them on the table outside the fellowship hall where we have the produce from folks' gardens. All contributions, donations will go to missions. So if you'll stop by on your way out and pick up some of the bake sale items and leave a contribution, we certainly would appreciate it. There were a couple of items in the newsletter that I want to call to your attention, and then the bulletin. Labor Day, September the 5th, there will be no Sunday school and no 8:45 service. We're going to all get together and worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary and then go have dinner on the grounds together. So pay attention and keep your eyes open for those announcements. But reserve now, September the 5th, for 10 o'clock worship service and dinner on the grounds. Now, if you will look in your bulletin, there are a couple of things I want to call to your attention. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by reading it to you, but I would like to call your attention to a couple of important things. The first one is the registration for Disciple Bible Study. Please make note of that. Several people have commented on what a change in their lives has occurred as a result of those Bible studies, the disciple studies. The very bottom of the inside of the bulletin will be the ice cream social. That'll take place next Sunday. Please come from 3:30 to 5. It's a drop-in to welcome our new minister and his wife. There are going to be all sorts of homemade cookies, goodies, and ice cream. The ice cream is purchased, and you're not going to believe the flavors. It's really going to be good. So please put that on your calendar, and then those of you who need to stay for administrative board, that will take place immediately following the ice cream social. If you will then turn over on the back of your bulletin and look, there are two items I really want to call to your attention. One is the disaster response training. This is sponsored by UMVIM. You know, we've been very fortunate not to have had a major disaster in South Carolina in quite a while. As authorities will tell you, we're due for one. So it would be very handy for those of us who are able to get prepared to handle a first response. If you notice in the bulletin, the event only costs $35. It's a 9-3 event on Saturday, the 28th. Do come. You don't have to be able to operate a chainsaw, because when a crisis occurs, people also need interviewing. They need comforting. They need direction. They need to be people who can do organizational skills and things of that sort. So you don't have to be the Hulk to be an active and a very important member of the team in an early response. And then finally, lasagna from Capri's. That's the first item on the menu for our first Hot Wednesdays, and a program on Epworth. Two very important things that you will enjoy. So please put that on your calendar. Hot Wednesdays will begin again. Now, let us continue to focus our minds and hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ as the acolytes bring the light of Christ into the sanctuary.
Thank you. please stand and join me in the call to worship? Return, beloved of God, to the fold. God welcomes you to this hour of prayer. God calls us by name and awaits our coming. God summons us out of hiding. God is like a shepherd caring for her flocks. God is like a gardener carefully tending his vines. Surely God has provided richly for us. Our lives are sustained by God's good gifts. Worship the one who longs for our coming. Sing praises to the one who expects our faithfulness. We call on God who gives us life. May God's face shine on us to save us.
Welcome you to this time of worship. Let us join together with a prayer of invocation. Surrounded by a rich heritage of faith, we seek to know you, God, in this time of worship. Thankful for our spiritual ancestors, we return to our roots to find our true identity. We lay aside all that weights us down and fills us with doubts, so we can give attention to your call and your message. Meet us here, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I invite you now to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. We will be reading, we will be using Psalm 80, which is found on page 801 and continues on page 802. And we will be singing response number 2, which Joyce will play now.
Thank you.
Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. In the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God, and let your face shine, that we may be
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it.
You prepared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches.
It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river.
Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruits? Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, and let your name be saved.
The epistle reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, and the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edges of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer, you do see the prayer concerns that are printed in your bulletin. We will lift these up in special prayer this morning in our hearts. Let us pray. Almighty God, we realize that in the world we live, there are changes. Changes on the exterior of us, and changes within us, changes within our homes, with our towns, in our country. Some changes are seemingly for our betterment, things that would occur that we would feel are in accordance with your divine plan, and changes that are inflicted upon us that we perceive to be the very epitome of the enemy. Dear God, we come to you and we acknowledge that things do not stay the same. And that indeed we have to be willing to embrace changes. We pray, O God, that for us as a church, that we would constantly embrace the changes, and yet to embrace that grand old message that has been given to us from of old, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners like us, and that the greatest change that can take place within the hearts and the lives of individuals everywhere is that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Master. And that whatever we do in this world, that no matter the changes that come, we would always endeavor to hear your word, to follow in the green pastures and the still waters that you would lead us, and sometimes through the fire and through the storms and through the night. So, Almighty God, we come to you again, acknowledging that we will be changed. And we pray that the changes that take place would be that we would be made more and more like you. And we pray, dear God, for these within our church family, those who have experienced maybe the loss of their health, that in the changes that have come their way, that they would continually experience the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the very Lamb of God, reaching out to them, touching them in the way that you and only you can do. So, dear Lord, we lift them up to you, and we lift up all the concerns that we have within our lives. And we pray for ministers and missionaries, for military personnel, for highway and byway policemen, city police persons that keep us safe during the day and during the night, for those who proclaim your word at home and abroad, for our president as he leads us, for the bishops as they lead your church. We pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Thank you.
Almighty God, to you we give thanks to you this day. For these, your faithful children who have used this practical application of the giving of their offerings to the kingdom of God. Bless these gifts, Almighty God. Bless them as they are used for the furtherance of the kingdom, both here and abroad. Bless giver and gift, and those who had not, and those who chose not to give this day, that all that we do be found pleasing in your sight, our Father, Maker, and Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
As the children come up, all preschool parents are reminded that preschoolers can go out for extended session. And today is the first week we will meet for worship readiness, which is for our new first graders. And we learn how, when, and where we worship. So all first grade parents, those children can go out with me, and they can be picked up at the end of the service in the first grade room.
Thank you. How y'all doing today? Good to see y'all. My goodness, y'all look like you're happy. Y'all look like you feel good. How many of you will be going to either school or kindergarten tomorrow when school gets started? Raise your hand if you will be. Okay, fantastic. That's why y'all are so happy. Okay, well, Wednesday, that's good. That's good. You going? Okay, well, that's good, but whenever you go, I thought I saw a lot of smiles on your faces. 5 days, because you're going to get to see your friends, and you're going to get to be with your friends. What else makes you happy? Tell me something that makes you happy real quick. Hey, you make me happy. Hey.
What makes you happy? Recess.
Recess, okay, very good.
Huh?
Hey.
Lunch.
Lunch, huh? Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be school related, but what makes you happy?
Lunch.
All right. Lunch, recess, I can see where we are. Okay. I agree with you. You know what makes me happy? I have been so happy this weekend. I've been so happy. Friday night I went over to Abbeville and I saw some high school football. And my goodness, that made me excited. I got excited watching those high school players play football. And then yesterday, Mary and I came and ate pancakes. And I guarantee you that made me happy. Oh boy. And I saw some of y'all. Y'all were smiling too when you ate those pancakes, weren't you? Yeah. Okay. Something else this week I saw that I thought was really, really good. I saw a bunch of little boys and girls at a church over in Grindle Mills. That's a church a good ways away from here. But they were boys and girls that were having Bible school. And they wouldn't have had Bible school if it hadn't been for Mr. Glenn and Miss Allie and Jessica and some other people from our church that went over and let them have Bible school. And my goodness, they were smiling and they were running around and they were having such a great time. They were singing, doing crafts. But you know, the boys and girls there were happy, but the people from Main Street were happy too. Because they were doing something for somebody else. Hey. They were doing something for somebody else. And that made them happy. So we want to be happy. And I've got a little saying for you. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make Jesus a part of your life. If you want to be, say that with me, will you? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make Jesus a part of your life. All right, one more time, say it loud. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life,
make Jesus a part of your life.
And that's what those folks did. And those little boys and girls really appreciate that. Let us pray. If you'll say after I do, please. Thank you, God. for loving us. Help us to love you each day. Amen.
Let us join together in affirming our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing, please, for the gospel lesson as found in the gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 49th verse of the 12th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I'm under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there's going to be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I would like to say thank you yesterday for the fun time we had in the pancake breakfast. Coach Dula ate his share, and we acknowledge that. We had a good time, and I hope that the next time that we have something like this, that we will utilize it as a time to invite others to come to be a part of a wonderful time of fellowship here at Main Street. And we did have a great time. And if you were in our 8:45 service, I understand that some of you come to both services. We had a great rocking time with our kids. They were beating the drums and playing the musical instruments. Some of you could have turned off your hearing aid. Others could have put plugs in their ears. Others would have been clapping and said, rock on, rock on. So we had a great time, and I know more is planned for our young people, and so I invite other youth that may be listening to this by radio to know that we have an exciting time here at Main Street, and we extend to you an opportunity to come and be a part of us here. So I read this passage of Scripture. I like the passage that I read last week a little better. When Jesus said that he came to share peace and that he would take care of the little flock and not to be scared. I thought about those things sometimes that we hear that we don't want to hear. The story was written in Reader's Digest, and it said something like this. Said, if you want to call and give us a compliment, you can dial, and I'll just use the church number, 864-229-7551. Punch 5 and leave your comment. But if you're calling to leave a complaint, would you please dial 864-229-995-4321-79821-2. Thank you. Have a nice day. Sometimes we don't want to hear when things are not what makes us comfortable. I remember several years ago, I was invited by my MYFers to meet with them after church one Sunday, and we were going down to this pile of sand. This sand was the result of a company that was selling sand, and they were digging down into the ground, and they had dug so far that they had actually dug through the period of time that human beings were living here, and they were down in the prehistoric times. And we could go down in there and find all types of different types of dinosaur fossils and petrified wood. And it was amazing as we fought the mosquitoes and the gnats that afternoon and dug through the sand and saw these different things and realized that at the time and period that we were in. And one of the things that was found in this pile of sand was a pterodactyl bone. Now that's that big old bird that could eat you. And I used to walk out of the church sometime on Sunday, and I said, now I don't make sure there's not a pterodactyl. Why? Because I said, it's one thing for me to be reading the menu of what I want to eat. It's another thing for somebody else to be reading the menu and I'm what they're thinking about eating. And I used to think, How far would we have progressed, human beings, if the pterodactyls were still here? I don't think we would be just walking out this afternoon saying, well, where can I meet you? I think we'd be running for our lives. But the pterodactyls were not able to change. The dinosaurs were not able to change. And so all we have today that speaks of their existence are bones, fragments left behind. So I realize that change is important. Change is a part of the cycle of life. As I read this passage of Scripture and Jesus was talking about fire, and I thought about the different ways that fire has impacted us in our civilization. When I was out deer hunting one day, a gentleman was walking down the road and he had stopped deer hunting and he was looking for fossils. And in the midst of these fossils that we found some pottery that was used years ago. And then this pottery were these ridges that made it so that whoever made it could hold it. And they could hold it wouldn't slip out of their hand, but in order to have these ridges on the exterior, they would take this clay and they would pack it into these vines, and then they would sit it down in the fire. And the fire, in the midst of burning off the vines, would harden the clay and make it so they would have a utensil to use for whatever it was that they were going to be using this particular item for. And so somewhere along the way, somebody discovered that fire was good. It was good for making pottery. It was by accident that it was discovered that fire is good to make rubber plowable. And when we think about how fire has impacted our very life, I remember my dad showing me some scars on his leg where he was out one day near the wash pot. And the fire that was being used to heat the water to wash the clothes caught his little gown on fire as a child. And I remember him saying those words, "Mama, Mama, that mean old fire is hurting me." And he carried those scars from that fire for the rest of his life. Fire is useful. Fire is a very integral part of the creation of our civilization. Fire can be damaging, and we remember reading the stories about the fires in Charleston and the fires in Columbia. But it was only recently that we were made aware of just how fire can impact our society. When at Myrtle Beach, they discovered that the houses were built so close and the pine trees and all this, that a fire could start and they actually couldn't, in our modern day, put it out. And if you've watched the news, it's been a whole series of finger pointing. Whose fault was it that these houses were allowed to burn? The fire is powerful. And Jesus speaks to us about fire, and we remember on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that bore witness to what was transpiring were tongues of fire. In a Cornerstone Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about Moses, and somebody said, if God would just speak to us like He spoke to Moses through a burning bush, then we would know what God wants us to do. But it was there through a bush on fire that God spoke. And you remember later on, as Moses went to the mountain, and they said it was billowing smoke and fire. And fire produces change. Change is what God calls us to be a part of sometimes. This past week, I received an email. The email made me aware that sometimes things come into our world. It creates change and creates pain. This past year, we have lost more missionaries than I have ever been aware of. We lost a couple in Haiti when the earthquake struck. And if you read about the murders that took place in Afghanistan, one of those was Daniel Terry, a United Methodist missionary. He was there, his family was there, he was raising his two children there. As I read this article, it spoke about Daniel and said he was a person that went into the communities and people trusted him. He had been there for a long time. He was teaching, he was instructing them in regard to eye care, and he was providing eye care for some of the very remote regions of Afghanistan. People trusted him. He had earned their respect. This was one individual that had he not died, you and I probably would never heard of him. And yet, because of his death, we can say because of our apportioned givings, because we're willing to share, there are things taking place that we don't even know about, and yet we trust. We trust that God's kingdom is growing somewhere else other than just some place that we have control of, that we give of ourselves and give of our time and of our talents, so that God can do some things in Afghanistan. And you remember, he was there as a missionary, and they killed him because they said he was telling the story of Jesus Christ. We think about telling the story of Jesus as being one of peace and of tranquility, of the lion and the lamb lying down together in the peaceful valley where God is going to lead us. And yet Jesus says, sometimes when people follow me, it appears to be fire, that there comes a separation. Coach Shulam mentioned that he went to a ball game, and if I can find my notes here this morning, it speaks to us that in 1993, in all of pro basketball, baseball, and football, that there were 103 million spectators in all of the pro sports. Listen to this now. There were 5.6 billion people attending church. 2% of the numbers that I have given you were people involved in pro sports, pro football, pro basketball in 1993. And yet, when we stop and think about how that 2% has impacted communities, created franchises, paid multi-million dollars in salaries to star players, Think about how excited they are. When's the last time somebody told you to go to a ball game but sit down and don't get excited because you disrupt the players? $5.6 billion people in church. And what impact have we made? And are we making? And are we excited about the team that we're on? We look around and realize that we're involved in the greatest number. And yet it seems like sometimes that we are so quiet. When we think about the disciples and you think about Jesus, Jesus died for what he proclaimed. The disciples, of the histories that we know of them, and the one born out of season, Paul, died for what they proclaimed. Pliny, who was the governor of Rome, said one time, "I have never met anyone that's more obstinate, rebellious, non-communicative. I killed a few of them just because." Speaking of the Christians, sometimes what we go through as Christians seems like fire. I liked the sermon a lot more last week when it talked about "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But this one this week calls me to a sober recollection that we are called to a burning ingredient in our world. What would it mean today if people were to refer to Main Street United Methodist Church as a church where the people are on fire for the kingdom of God? Amen. Now may the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you and keep you both now and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.